Welcome, everybody, to the Bullpen Report, part of the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. It's Tuesday. It's May 20th. I'm Dan Thompson at Red Fox Roto. We have a busy day. Some major news from the weekend, and even more to report from last night. Fantasy values shifting in several bullpens across the league. Let's not waste any time. We're starting in Philadelphia. The biggest surprise of the weekend was the announcement that the Phillies' Jose Alvarado was suspended 80 games for a positive PED test. Alvarado was not a locked-in, elite-tier level closer, but he was the primary guy on a good team, generating save chances. So it's a big loss to those who had him rostered. Alvarado is, of course, now an easy drop if you missed the news and didn't already cut him on Sunday night. Now, on the last Saturday podcast, I covered the role of Jordan Romano after he had recorded a couple of Phillies saves in a row. At the time, Romano had earned his way back into the second slot of the Philly committee. He leaps up to number one now, but he's probably not alone. Rob Thompson runs a bullpen by committee. You know, in the fantasy space, we always want to anoint one pitcher as the closer, the guy. But that's not what we should expect from Romano or anybody in Philadelphia. What was an Alvarado-Romano tandem is probably now Romano and Matt Strom. Romano's value is absolutely up. He goes from a lesser share with Alvarado to what should be a greater share with Strom. Romano is unlikely to be available in many leagues today, but he's obviously worth a pickup if he is. But so is Matt Strom. Strom won't generate a lot of saves, but he's now easily the top lefty in the Philadelphia bullpen, and he will have a ninth inning role, even if it's a smaller one. And Strom is likely much more widely available and cheaper. Strom is owned in only 20% of the NFBC 12-team online championship leagues as of right now. So if you're looking for another guy who can get a save on occasion, fill in as a relief streamer when you don't have good enough starting pitching matchups, Strom is definitely a recommended target now. But back to Jordan Romano. We had a question in the FTN Discord about prioritizing Romano over Felix Bautista, Raisel Iglesias, or Jeff Hoffman. Those were the examples. I would not prioritize Romano over any of those three. They are all more firmly entrenched in the ninth inning on their respective teams than Romano will be with the Phillies. I wouldn't look to drop an established closer for Romano right now. The advantage of adding Romano would have been getting him in place of Jose Alvarado and your team not skipping a beat. Or if you added Romano as a second source of saves, you know, say you were throwing out a Rockies reliever or one of the Marlins guys in your number two spot. Or in a situation where you're holding someone like Devin Williams and you're using him in a starting role, hoping he gets the Yankee job back soon. Romano is definitely an upgrade over any of those types of pitchers. Well, let's go back now to a familiar place and look at the Chicago Cubs bullpen again. So news broke yesterday that Porter Hodge was being placed on the injured list with an oblique injury. A timetable is not known at the moment, but an oblique for a pitcher should keep him out for a while. I'd expect at least a month, depending on the severity. Could be longer. The first save chance without Hodge available went to Daniel Palencia last night. Now, I had mentioned Palencia as one of the Cubs' more consistent relievers so far this year. So naturally, he blew that first save opportunity by allowing a couple of runs to the Marlins with two outs. So at this point, what comes next for the Cubs? Palencia could still get the next save chance. You know, last night was not a good result, but they were the first runs he's allowed since April 19th. He's been dependable otherwise. Palencia throws triple digit heat. You know, he has that high velo, kind of exciting closer profile. Now, Drew Pomeranz, as a lefty, could mix in situationally, but I doubt he's someone that would take over a majority saves role. But one name to watch out for, at least in the short term, surprisingly, is Brad Keller. The former starter has pitched in the eighth inning four times so far in May. He's having a really nice season, working one inning at a time out of the bullpen. His velocity is way up from the mid-90s. He's up now around 97 on his fastball, and the strikeouts are up, while still getting over 60% ground ball so far. If Craig Counsell and the Cubs feel like they're just completely done with Ryan Pressly, it's not a stretch to see Brad Keller maybe get a save chance. Although that ground ball rate is enticing in a fireman type role, you know, guys who can come in with runners on when a double play grounder is needed aren't usually reserved for the ninth inning exclusively. So I guess to sum it up, we still really don't know what's happening with the Cubs pen right now. This is an important week to watch it unfold and see how these guys are used with Hodge on the injured list. But right now, I don't think we really have a full-time closer on the Cubs roster. Well, now we move on to Pittsburgh, where, yeah, it's official. I'm calling it Dennis Santana season. It took me a while to warm up to it, but it's time. You know, it always made more sense that if David Bednar was pitching well, that he should be the guy in the ninth inning for Pittsburgh. And after returning in April from his get-right stint in AAA, Bednar had been pitching very well. Yet when manager Don Kelly took over for the fired Derek Shelton, he flip-flopped Bednar and Santana, moving Bednar mostly into the eighth inning and using Santana in the ninth. Bednar certainly did not help himself by taking losses in back-to-back ninth inning tie game situations. And last night probably tipped those scales by giving up three hits and a couple runs in another tie game, this time in the eighth inning. So if Don Kelly had already had a preference for Dennis Santana for the ninth, that should be even more firm now. Pittsburgh is not a great place to rack up saves, but Santana is going to be a valuable fantasy asset while he has that role, and he should definitely be added where still available. Back to, let's go to Texas now, where Yogi Berra would say it's deja vu all over again. So earlier last week, setup man Chris Martin had left an appearance after one pitch. He had elbow tightness. He dodged an injury bullet there. He was back pitching over the weekend. But on Sunday, Martin left the game after, again, one pitch, this time with shoulder soreness. So those kind of successive injuries in different places of the arm for a 38-year-old pitcher, not a sign of stout health. So maybe this time he gets a needed IL stint to rest up. But right now we really don't really know his status. We're still waiting on that. Now, Luke Jackson is, I would still say he's locked in as the Rangers closer, despite his mediocre results. But I know I made it clear on the Saturday podcast that I don't see Jackson holding down the closer role in Texas all year. He's simply not pitching well enough to do that. At some point, I assume someone else in Texas will be needed for saves. And if we can't rely on Chris Martin's health, then someone like Robert Garcia or Sean Armstrong, who picked up a couple saves recently, maybe both guys, you know, they could eventually find themselves tasked with late game leads. So those are names to keep an eye on, Robert Garcia and Sean Armstrong. They could find themselves as a valuable addition later on. Let's take a trip down to Miami now. A far better real-life destination than one for fantasy bullpen value, but saves are saves. We chase them no matter where they lead us. And just when it looked like Jesus Tinoco had ascended into the closer role with some level of security, after all, his prior four games pitched had all been in the ninth inning. He picked up a win and two saves in that span. But Tinoco was suddenly used in the seventh inning on Sunday night, and then in the sixth inning last night against the Cubs. And last night, the Cubs roughed him up for 4 earned runs, while Tinoco recorded just 1 out. So it seems the Marlins' game of musical chairs in the ninth inning may be back in play again. The alternatives there are Calvin Fauché and Anthony Bender. Looking at their recent usage since Tinoco assumed the ninth inning, Fauché has appeared in the seventh, the seventh, the fifth, the sixth, and the eighth innings. Anthony Bender, on the other hand, pitched the eighth, 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 and ninth. So it seems clear that Bender's usage would portend a greater likelihood that he would take over the ninth if Tinoco is now out, which we still don't know is true or not. But it's also likely that this situation remains fluid, as it really it has been all season. At some point, Bender, Fauché, and Tinoco have all looked like they were the closer in Miami. To me, it's fine if you want to speculate on a Marlins reliever if it looks like that guy is the front runner at any given time. Just remember to be mindful of the acquisition cost. We want to keep it cheap. Now, one more news bite for today. We'll go over to the Angels bullpen, where old man Kenley Jansen just keeps on trucking. He saved his ninth game against the Dodgers last night. Outside of just a massive implosion, Jansen should remain, you know, firmly in that closer role for at least the next few months. But what happens at the trade deadline could shake things up in LA. The Angels are right now in last place in the AL West. Kenley is on an affordable one-year contract. He should be a useful trade chip for any contender looking to add experience to the back end of their bullpen, like the Chicago Cubs, perhaps. Now, should Jansen be traded? Obviously, it creates a ninth inning opportunity for someone to step into for the Angels. Unfortunately, Ben Joyce has undergone season-ending shoulder surgery, so he's out. I've talked in the past about rookie Ryan Zephyrjohn on the pod before. He's an exciting young reliever. He's on the rise, fantastic strikeout numbers, but he has scuffled of late, and teams, they really don't typically like to hand over full-time saves to young pitchers because it drives up their arbitration salaries down the road. So, enter Robert Stevenson. Largely forgotten, as he's been making his way back from last year's Tommy John surgery, Stevenson was a big free agent signing for the Angels prior to 2024. It was a 3-year, $33 million deal. He's still under contract through 2026, and the Angels have a club option for 2027. Stevenson very quietly is out on a rehab assignment right now. He's thrown a couple innings so far. So should he be able to return healthy and effective, Robert Stevenson is the guy who would likely become the new Angels closer in the absence of Kenley Jansen. So that's just one more name to keep an eye on as we get closer to July and what I'm sure will be a lot of bullpen activity near the trade deadline. So we are done for today. Catch the pod again Saturday for our weekly free agency preview episode. You've been listening to the Bullpen Report on the FTN Fantasy Baseball Podcast. I'm Dan Thompson. Let's close it out.